Next is an afternoon talk on Srila Prabhupada with His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on October 27th, 1992 in Vrindavan.
So this is a class of Prabhupada pastimes. I'm going to read and comment on some sayings by Prabhupada and some of his pastimes from India that I was witness to, Mayapur and Bhubaneswar. Some of these things are not on tape, and the longest pastime that I'm going to discuss from Bhubaneswar, I don't think it's available, I don't think anyone has recorded it in any form. And I've put these things in my own diary at that time and published it since then. So we'll start with the morning walk in Mayapur. Jayadvaita, then Jayadvaita Brahmachari, was asking Prabhupada some question. Then Jayadvaita asked, "Sometimes the Acharya seems to make mistakes. He," that's Prabhupada, "said, that is your imperfect understanding. You do not know what perfection is. The Acharya's perfection is his preaching." Jayadvaita Maharaj gave the example on this walk that the spiritual master may seem that he forgets some verse in Sanskrit that he's in his lecture. He wants to quote some verse, cannot remember it, or doesn't quote it correctly. The disciple perceives he makes a mistake. So Prabhupada gave this wonderful answer to help us understand in a positive sense what is the perfection. And also that it's our imperfection if we see fault in those other discrepancies. Also, we have the nectar of instruction where it says if you think that the spiritual master, you make some judgment on him by his having his bodily complexion or disease, a few other bodily things are mentioned there, this is a big mistake. So you may say, well, do I see it or not? Or what is it that I see? And then, so Rupa Goswami says, it is just like the foam you see in the Ganges due to the mud of the rainy season. It does not actually affect the pure composition of the Ganges. So it is your imperfection in vision. And the real perfection is his preaching. Prabhupada says, see how he is preaching. So that's a relief to hear, because obviously that's much more important. That's the important thing. And when we do see that, there's no question that Prabhupada is perfect. No part of him was not engaged in this service, body, mind, and words. I asked, how can his thousands of disciples reciprocate with him? He said, the spiritual master has representatives, GBC and presidents. Then Jayadvaita said, yes, they may be there, but what about a personal relationship with you for thousands? He said, Prabhupada, their obedience, if they follow the spiritual master's order. These answers are somewhat cryptic, and we have to very short, almost mysterious. But everything is there, just as in a sutra. And I was very satisfied with this answer also, that if one is obedient and follows the spiritual master's order, then he will know in his heart that I am reciprocating with my spiritual master. We discussed this in our Prabhupada seminar, and how we were talking about book distributors and other services where the devotees feel in their hearts that they have Prabhupada is encouraging them and is with them. And he says, by your obedience, you will know. You won't think, oh, I'm only one of so many, how does he know I'm here? Or now, we won't think, I'm not even his direct disciple, he's gone. But by our obedience, things will come to us. One boy quoted Vyasa saying to Narada, search out the defect in me as you are as good as all-pervading Supersoul. Prabhupada said, yes, he found the defect in him that he wasn't glorifying Krishna. I think the boy quoted that, and he was offering some evidence about the spiritual master, that he's like the all-pervading Supersoul, and this would be a way in which he could, a disciple being one of many, could understand that Prabhupada knows me. The Prabhupada is like the all-pervading Supersoul. But rather than comment on that part of the verse, Prabhupada comments on the other part, that yes, he saw in my heart and he saw the defect. So we were talking about this, that we are so eager that we want the spiritual master to know and to pay attention to what we're doing. So then we hear, oh, he has the power to do that? Very good. He's in my heart. He can do that? Good. This is very good. He said, yes, I'll see. And I'll see your defect. That's what I'll see. So why are you so anxious that I see your defect? We may think, oh, I thought you were going to see me in order to praise me. And this may be why we were so eager to have reciprocation. This comes up again, but first another topic comes up. I asked, the Gita says, a disciple, oh, it's actually in a purport in the Gita, a disciple with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. What is this, everything? Prabhupada said it doesn't mean that he knows everything the same as Krishna. Whatever the guru knows, to that limit, he, the disciple, also knows everything. The guru isn't God, that he knows Krishna as Krishna does. But if he surrenders to Krishna, you are everything, then he knows everything. Krishna is everything. So you may have seen and thought about that line in the purport, that he who has a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. Does it mean that you become like Vishnu, all-knowing? But you know Vasudeva Sarvamiti, and you know what your guru knows. And the guru also doesn't know everything, like Lord Vishnu, but he knows Krishna intimately. Sakshat Hari Trena Samasta Shastra. He said, the disciple should be chastised. It is good for him. Lord Chaitanya saw himself as a fool before his spiritual master. We should feel like that. He was asked if he were ever chastised by his spiritual master and said yes, and he found it very valuable. Later, Paramahamsa Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada how he knows of the service of some less prominent devotee. So now we're back on that topic again. I remember him, it's not here, I remember him answering that how he knows, he has ways of knowing. And what he mentioned, which was like non-mystical communication, was he said he may find out from by a letter. Then he first said, it is not Vaishnava to desire to be prominent or known. Why should he want to be prominent? So the devotee, in asking the question, used the phrase less prominent devotee. Because the prominent devotees, they'll be the leaders, more advanced or senior or whatever you want to call them. He will know them, but he won't know some others. They'll be less prominent. So Prabhupada says, why should he want to be prominent? But as Supersoul is in the heart of both disciple and Prabhupada, will Prabhupada not know? The question is that. Know or not know? One should render service his whole life without being recognized, if it so happens. Anya vilasita sunyam. That's pretty difficult. We all need so much encouragement. There's that story often quoted for different reasons from the Mahabharata of the disciple who not only wasn't recognized, but he was rejected or refused. He was refused as a disciple by the guru. And so he made a model of the guru and took instructions from him. And in archery, he became a great archer. So at least we're not rejected, but we may not. But we should be ready to render service without being recognized. He also quoted Lord Chaitanya's verse: "Even if he makes me broken-hearted, and I have no desire, he should simply desire to follow the instructions, and it is inevitable that he will be recognized." But we tend to do business, do a little service, and want to be praised by the spiritual master. That is material. We know from the books what the spiritual master wants, and if we serve him accordingly, we will get all opulences, including fame. When we were talking about this in our class, Jayadwaita Maharaj referred to, used this phrase. He asked this question once, and then he asked it again. He said, "Oh, I could see that I was trying to get brownie points." So some of these slang words, I'm a little suspicious of them, that they may be obscene or profane. But I looked that one up and it's harmless. It refers to, in the Girl Scouts of America, there's a junior group called Brownies. And they get merit points. So that's the literal meaning, but it's come into the language to mean if you are looking for recognition for a superior for rather insignificant acts. So someone will say, I was trying to get brownie points, or he was trying to get brownie points. So this is, Prabhupada is saying this attitude is not very good. He calls it business. Do a little service and want to be praised by the spiritual master. That is material. We know what he wants. If we serve him accordingly, we will get all opulences, including fame. I remember a devotee wrote to Prabhupada, "Is it all right to desire to become a famous devotee for Krishna?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's all right. You can use that for Krishna." But actually, he said, devotee doesn't have any desire if in return for his service that he should be famous. And there's a great advantage for spiritual development in not being famous. Someone may become famous, even not wanting to become famous. Prabhupada spoke about Gandhi. He said he was so famous, the poor man, he couldn't even sleep at night. And if he was going somewhere, everybody would know where he would go and they would all mob the train. And then at night, he said, they would be chanting, "Gandhi Ji Ki Jai, Gandhi Ji." The poor man could not sleep. So, and Madhavendra Puri, when he, due to his purity, the Kshirshort Gopinath stole for him, then he knew that he would become famous, a miraculous saint. So he decided, "I will leave this place because they will come after me." And then becoming famous and someone saying, "Oh, you're so good, you're so great," then in subtle ways he can start to think, "Oh, they must be right. So many people saying Gandhi Ki Jai, it must be very good." And then the thing that they loved you for, humility, starts to disappear, and then eventually there's fall down. So why should we, another reason why we should not be so eager to be a famous person. It is a wrong desire to want to be noticed by the spiritual master. The duty of the spiritual master is to chastise. It is inevitable that if we serve, that not only the spiritual master, but everyone will take notice. And Prabhupada says, Tripurari Das simply wanted to distribute books, not become prominent, but now everyone knows him. Krishna also wanted Arjuna to be famous. A devotee should think he is so insignificant that it is impossible he will ever be recognized. He thinks it is my function to serve and not to become famous. Prabhupada said he came to the U.S. not desiring to be famous, but his duty. He now has fame and fortune from Krishna, but he didn't want it. If we pour water on the root by devotional service, everything will take place. Devotees should not feel, "I desire credit, but I deserve to be beaten." questions about that? I'm going to move on to the next situation. So many good instructions. Yes?
What's the difference between recognition and encouragement? Hmm. It seems like you need encouragement.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada used to give the encouragement in letters, and it wasn't necessarily like a big thing that it was just our letter that you got, and so it was for you. It was like a private thing, and it wasn't that. Maybe we think of recognition, or especially the word fame. Fame means that many people appreciate. So. We need encouragement is an internal thing. And the one point Prabhupada is making is that we all need to be encouraged, but it shouldn't be that for encouragement we need pay, fame, position, and so on. But encouragement should come just by a glance or by a word of recognition. Yeah, we want to be recognized. You did this, that was nice what you did, or it could be better what you did. So there's some, you could say recognition. But not that it has to be that everybody knows that this person is so good. That would be one difference between them. But it has to come from our part. Otherwise, if we're so greedy in a material sense, we won't be satisfied by recognition as it comes or by encouragement. We'll want some material reward. Or constantly we'll need constant recognition in order to keep going. Prabhupada said that kshatriyas and grihasthas, the wife is a source of encouragement for them. And he said that sannyasi doesn't require this. So that's not a generalized statement about grihasthas, but take a materialistic person. That the wife is a source of encouragement to him. So that would be a source of encouragement that at some stage it shouldn't be necessary that I'm not encouraged unless I have a beautiful wife to do my work. If you don't have that, then what is your source of encouragement? Oh, just to do my service, just because I feel Krishna is pleased, and so on. So how do we get encouraged is another thing. Not that we need so much. Should come from within. I remember Prabhupada using that word about George Harrison. He said he was getting some encouragement from within. That he was getting, rather he was getting criticized for being interested in Hare Krishna. But you get some encouragement from within. And that's the most valuable thing to have. Enthusiasm and encouragement. Sometimes we may calculate that and appreciate this is actually what I must have, this pure source of enthusiasm and encouragement, and then realize that the other thing that I want, which is fame for this, if I get it, it could very well ruin this encouragement that I'm getting now. I have the enthusiasm and I have the encouragement, but if I get recognition, it could. And people will get involved in it, or they try to control it, or it'll get changed, and this and that may happen. And it'll ruin the thing that's going now that is my life. So we should be careful about our desires for fame or recognition, and rather be satisfied that we have the pure source of encouragement from within. Just for doing it, just for doing the service, and without it being recognized. All right, I want to talk about Prabhupada in Bhubaneswar. This is January 1977. Srila Prabhupada went to the Kumbh Mela before that, and he had a system of a different GBC secretary would be with him for a month. So it was my turn to join him at Bhubaneswar. Now, finally, A big, beautiful temple has been erected there due to the services of Gaura Govinda Maharaj for Srila Prabhupada and so many other devotees who worked for that. But at this time, it was just a bare piece of land off the highway. And as you drove up to it, all you would see was some tents where the devotees were staying. Usually the tents weren't there, but Prabhupada was visiting, so there were some tents. And then one small brick building which had been whitewashed. It was just like a small two-room structure with no roof, no cement roof, a thatch roof. Gaura Govinda Maharaj built it for himself, but he gave it to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada stayed in one room, and with a little division he put up, servants were in the other room. And he was very happy to live there. He said, "I like it here better than the Bhakti Vedanta Manor." So there were nice exchanges and pastimes. I came there after he'd been there a week or so, and the previous person there, the GVC secretary, was Ramaswar, and he had been asking Prabhupada many questions about, he was interested in world revolution and how Krishna consciousness was actually going to become powerful influence in the world and how it was going to take place. And there are different replies, I don't have them here, of the things that Prabhupada said to him, how it would take place. And Ramaswar remembered the more sensational things about how Krishna consciousness was going to take over the world. And so he was talking about them. It was not Prabhupada, Ramaswar. So when I got there, I thought, I was skeptical about this because I thought maybe it was a lack of faith, because Krishna consciousness at that time was just the opposite. It was getting a terrible reputation by the propaganda of the anti-cult movement, which was at its peak at that time. Fortunately, since then it has waned, although it's still detrimental and influential. But the New York case was in progress, the first big case, and deprogramming was flagrantly being practiced and so on. So it hardly looked like we were going to be the world power. And so in the course of my being with Prabhupada, I asked him some questions about that. I'm not sure if I have that picked out. But he said it wasn't going to happen overnight. And rather, here's my question about that. When I came here, Ramaswara Swami said, "You had been speaking about how Krishna consciousness will rise to power in the United States, and I find it hard to have that vision, since now it is just the opposite." He said it was true that Krishna consciousness would become the power. "But now it has only taken its roots. You have to water and protect it. Then you will get fruit. You have to give it protection. People must hear about us by books, and we have to talk about the books." I understood better and said, "Oh, so it is not that it will happen overnight?" "No," he said, "gradually it will grow. The seed is there. Now protect it by introducing more and more books in every house." I think it was like a test of faith for me. It was too much for me to swallow what seemed to be so inconceivable, unbelievable. And I was going to have to accept this, which was so contrary to intelligence. And so he was easing me to saying, "No, it's not like that. But it is going to happen. Don't be faithless. But it will happen gradually, and you have to work for it by distributing books in particular. They're the seeds for the revolution." He then went on to talk about, at this time, Prabhupada enunciated the idea that there should be full set distribution in people's homes, because we had been distributing full sets of books in the libraries and had, in one sense, completed our first visit to many, many places around the world. So now he said, "Well, your work isn't finished. Now you should go into people's homes and sell them full sets of books." And that was like a follow-up to his comment of how Krishna consciousness would become influential. So partly I had some doubt, and there's some more about that now. I recently took the antagonist role against Srila Prabhupada of one who doesn't believe what he hasn't seen. Since then, on a number of occasions, he has turned to me to add arguments to those he gave the first time. I am cast in the role of a man who doesn't believe what he doesn't see. But what a foolish position it is. Prabhupada said, you don't see the thought in the mind of the man who is plotting to murder you. It would be to your great advantage to know that this man whom I am talking about is actually planning all details of my murder tonight. It is very important information for me, and it is going on, but I have no access to it because I cannot see it. So, what I wanted to point out here is Prabhupada's strength in argument, not dependent on the Shastra. And this is one of his qualities as a preacher. He even makes the point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya argues with the Buddhists, that he does so without reference to the scriptures, because you start quoting Bhagavad Gita and they say, oh, we don't accept the Bhagavad Gita. What else do you have to say? Well, as it says in Srimad Bhagavatam, well, we don't accept Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't accept these scriptures. So then he argues on the basis of logic. And Prabhupada makes a purport there that devotees in the Krishna conscious movement will have to do this because in the West people don't accept scripture. And he naturally thought in this way. Although he had the greatest complete literal faith in Vedic scriptures for preaching, he knew that he couldn't always use that as evidence. And his mind naturally thought in many simple, direct, but strong arguments. And he knew how to use those arguments, as he said, like a karate expert. So this is a common materialistic attitude, that empirical viewpoint, that I believe it if I see it. I don't see Krishna. I don't see the spiritual world. So how can I believe this is happening? The Prabhupada is asserting that we do act on things that we don't perceive, and that they do have reality. You don't see the aroma carried by the flower. You don't know your father except through the authority of your mother. And so on. And related to this, I wanted to illustrate another quality of Prabhupada's, and that was that he naturally focused on the material world and analyzed it very sharply. The stereotype of a spiritualist may be that he sees the material world as false and doesn't relate to it at all, and doesn't see what is going on. He lives only in the spiritual world, which is very vivid to him, the pastimes of Krishna. But he doesn't see the dealings in the material world. But Prabhupada, he saw everything. He saw the spiritual world and he saw the material world through the eyes of the scriptures, and with compassion and breaking through the falsity. And he shared it with us. So there's a reflection that we were out on a morning walk in Bhubaneswar. Suddenly, exercising young men came running towards us. He said, the people are hungry and poor, while others are taking residence in a big house and running. They are running because they have overeaten, while others are starving. Educate them, the starving ones, and then as the years go by, they will join the Naxalite movement and kill all the rich men. So such a, just by seeing a jogger, all these thoughts go through his mind, like an economic analysis. And sometimes we go to the temple and we walk out among the people, and we don't even notice, we're not aware of class differences, economic differences, what's on people's minds, and we're oblivious to it. But it's a certain reality, and the more we know, the better. If we act naively, we may also act very crassly, that we're teaching religious principles, and then we do things in our behavior in relation to the people in the neighborhood that is like shocking, and you go to talk to the people and they'll say, oh, those devotees, they're horrible. They're not clean, they're arrogant, they're this, they're that, and we just think, what's wrong? I just went to the Bhagavatam class and now I'm going out to preach and everything's perfect. I'm in Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada, he notices all these things just by seeing the man jogging. Then he said, in ISKCON also, unless people are properly engaged, otherwise they will be idle brains. Fish-fish is Prabhupada's sound for gossip. Whisper, whisper, fish, fish. Sex and women. So now I have one more. It's a rather lengthy, this is like my main piece for today. It's a really astounding kind of a story having to do with Prabhupada being presented tales about psychic phenomena that were going on among some devotees. And I was involved because I was the secretary, and one of the persons approached me who was having some visitations from people of outer space. And I heard about this. There are all kinds of different undergrounds, even today in ISKCON, of people who are interested in certain strange phenomena. And so I'd heard about this in Europe, because before I came to India, one devotee approached me and told me that some other devotees and he in Europe had talked with some person who had come, and this person was actually from another world, sort of like a demigod, but not exactly. And I thought it was just all crazy. For me, it's enough to have faith in the spiritual world, but I can't have the subtle world. Very difficult for me to comprehend, although I know it's there. But so this person was telling me about this and saying that only qualified persons can know about this. If you're interested, you can find out more about it. Anyway, I knew about it, that there were some devotees who claimed that people were coming to devotees from some other world, some other level of existence, and talking to them. So then, with that background, I said, when I was in Europe, I heard about a sannyasi godbrother who was preaching to devotees that they should cultivate their inner life. He was speaking of having experiences and visitations of beings from other material worlds, psychic phenomena. Then he showed up here in Bhuvaneshwar. He and I went to Srila Prabhupada. In other words, I was a secretary, so I had arranged for a meeting, and he said he wanted to talk with Prabhupada about this. And I thought, oh no, how can he talk to Prabhupada about this stuff? So he said, no, I have to talk about him, and it's a very important thing. And it has all kinds of ramifications for helping our movement and helping the devotees who are not very enlivened nowadays. So I want to go to him. And then I thought, all right, good, let's face, if he's so convinced, let's see what happens when he goes to Prabhupada with this. He and I went to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada told him that his visions are like dreams. You dream of a gold mountain because you have seen gold and you have seen a mountain. And all these experiences are stored up for many lifetimes. The images come up like bubbles in the water. The sannyasi told Prabhupada that he had a vision before even meeting Srila Prabhupada of a saintly person just like him. And then finally he met Prabhupada and it was the same as the vision. Prabhupada said, I am a bona fide spiritual master whether you had a vision or not. It is not on the basis of your vision but on the basis of Shastra. The sannyasi also said that a devotee had gone to Egypt and said that some beings had come out of the pyramids and talked to him. Prabhupada, he said, I was not dreaming, I was awake. No, Prabhupada said, it was all dreaming. When I first went into Prabhupada, I said, the devotees here wonder if you could talk with this sannyasi because there's been some question in Europe about his preaching. Prabhupada agreed, there must be some question because he has been associating with those Radhakund Babajis. The sannyasi said that he knows that the Radhakund Babajis, now this is an apparently different topic, I don't know why they're talking about the Radhakund Babajis, unless there's a connection with what they're saying and these visitations. I take it it's just another thing that this devotee was doing, although there may be some connection. But now we're talking about that. The sannyasi said he knows that the Radhakund Babajis claim to be advanced, that they never leave Vrindavan, but that some of them are Kali Chela, whose bhajan is illicit sex in the name of Prakriti Sahajya. Prabhupada said, I travel all over the world, and I consider myself not advanced, and yet I am considered by them to be not advanced, and yet they consider themselves like Rupa Goswami, but with illicit sex and smoking bidi. Again, we talked about the visitation. Srila Prabhupada said that many people had come to him and told him such things. One life member, a rich barrister, told him that he went to Vrindavan and met a boy there who gave him some sweets. Then he was leaving Vrindavan. He saw that this boy was running after the train. This means, the man said, that Krishna was running after him, having become so attracted. Prabhupada said, and we have to believe this? You can still find people telling all these things that happened. Another person, a rich man, went to Jagannath Puri, and because he was rich, he was granted a close circumambulation around the deity. While circumambulating, they reported that Lord Jagannath began snatching at his wife's clothing. Prabhupada says, so Jagannath is attracted to this blackish woman and snatching her clothes, and we have to believe this? This phrase is good, that sometimes we're naive. Someone says, I just had a dream, I just heard a voice. This coincidental thing happened. Just when I was doing this, someone came up to me and said this. So we may think, well, this is a devotee, I'm in Vrindavan, or I have to believe what they said. But Prabhupada says, we have to believe this? Just because he had a dream? Just because they heard a voice? There has to be some other standard. We should doubt our own, we should examine our own dreams and the dreams of others. The sannyasi had also told Prabhupada that in Europe, some person had come to the temple who was a visitor from the subtle plane. And although she talked to one devotee, others didn't see it, didn't know she was there. Prabhupada fixed on that right away and said, oh, he saw some visitation, but others who are there cannot see it? That is bogus. He said we should tell the devotees, or anyone who claims these things, yes, you say you are seeing these things, you must be very fortunate. This is Prabhupada saying how we should deal with this. You must be very fortunate that the avatar, or whoever he is visiting you. But put it aside and do your duty. I guess they want all attention to come to them, and they do some other extraordinary thing on behalf of the visitor from outer space. But Prabhupada says, that's all right, just keep doing your duty. He said, of course, these things may be happening. That is a fact. But as far as he was concerned, he was not so fortunate as to ever see such things. And now the rest of this is what's really inspiring, you could say, so far, is, oh, this is Prabhupada dealing with a crazy person. Although, these are all interesting things. But this was, the rest of it is what really impressed me, where Prabhupada started talking about himself in relation to having such experiences. So he said he never saw any of these things. There are so many spiritual leaders, so-called spiritual leaders, who themselves base their position on things like this, that this happened to me, that happened to me, therefore you should follow me. Prabhupada said, I never had anything like that happen to me. So then you may think, oh, then what is your standing? That you're the spiritual master of the Hare Krishna movement. He said, I was only trying to serve my spiritual master. He said, his Guru Maharaj had thousands of disciples, and only he has become a little successful, although everyone claims to be the favored, the most scholarly, the most advanced. When he thinks why he has become a little successful, he thinks it is because he firmly believed in the orders of his spiritual master. When Prabhupada said that, it was like the conclusion of all he was saying on this topic, or practically any other topic. It was so impressive. We could see that this was Prabhupada's actual unique position, his magic. He said, I haven't seen any avatar, but if you want to know my secret. And then we saw what a rare position Prabhupada had. Prabhupada said, I firmly believed in the words of my spiritual master. I believe 100% in the words of my spiritual master, and I did not care for some other thing, implying seeing a visitor from another planet or being a great scholar. I never cared for some other thing besides the order of my spiritual master. Those who claim they are seeing visitors, they claim an advanced status for themselves. The sannyasi had said that one benefit of this psychic phenomena is that they had been preaching to devotees who were feeling discouraged in devotional service. The devotees would feel stimulated to feel that actually something was immediately at hand which was exciting and relishable. So when we explained that to Prabhupada, he said, if spiritual life is slow and you do not feel progress, you should not demand visitors from another plane or such things, but carry on your duty as assigned to you by your spiritual master. somehow in the context of that strange topic, we were able to appreciate better that Prabhupada's faith in his Guru Maharaj is something very rare and is very, very deep and is all that is necessary. If anyone else can have that kind of faith, then he too can do wonderful things like Prabhupada, but not by attempting some something extraordinary. Any questions about comment? There are so many wonderful incidents in Prabhupada's life. Fortunately, many of them are starting to be compiled now by different devotees. But just when we think we've heard the full stock and some Prabhupada met so many people and dealt with so many things. Going to America, you name it, he heard it. Yes? In London? I know a story about that from New York. Maybe they're similar. That we did a program, and there weren't many people there. So, yeah, the devotees said that nobody was there, or something like that. The Prabhupada said something that they were present, but I can't remember exactly. What was the story from London? Yeah. So, in other words, when you hold kirtan, the demigods are seeing. So you're pointing out that wonderful things do happen. People are watching and so on. But who can see? And who should claim? Prabhupada made the interesting point that by claiming to be a sensitive, what are some of the words, or a medium to these things, you're actually claiming that I have special status. And then everyone will come to you. And the one devotee who said that Prabhupada was talking to him, and he was telling everything how the society should be run. So that was one of the motivations for this, that he spotted as being an impure motivation. Yes? Yeah, well, devotional service should be exciting. But he says here, if it's not, then don't take to some thing to stimulate it. Like we had the example of the devotee who's a spiritual master and thought, these disciples are coming to me, I'm not so advanced, I really should have more to give them. So he started taking hallucinatory drugs. That's not the way to get access to something special and exciting. That's the way to hell. He's not saying that we shouldn't have a feeling that life is new and life is exciting by further and further discovery of Krishna consciousness. But it's a fact that it's not always going to be like that. So the routine work should be done. The Vaidhi Bhakti should never be given up. Thinking that I can give it up and I will reach higher stages. Prabhupada gives the example that the poet Tagore, who won the Nobel Prize, he never went to college, but then he got honorary degrees from Oxford. That's a very unusual thing, that you don't go to college and you get an honorary degree. So if you think, well, I won't do the normal practices of devotional service, rules and regulations, but I'll get the extraordinary thing. No, that's called kripa siddha, that the mercy just comes. But we have to expect, well, that may happen, to go by sadhana siddha,
sadhana siddhi, getting perfection of practicing the rules and regulations. All desires will be fulfilled. When devotional service seems to pick up and exciting things happen, then it's wonderful and we like it. And the stage will come when at every moment it's a thrill. So we can wait for that day. When will the day come when tears will flow from my eyes just by chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada writes that a devotee should aspire for these bodily transformations of ecstasy and hope that day will come, but he cannot do it by imitation. So be patient. Patience is to restrain ourselves and be patient. It's very important. And we think it's a hard balance because we have to strive and try to get ahead. But you can't do it by imitating. Even, say, by doing extreme austerities, like Raghunath Goswami. Prabhupada was once praising Raghunath Das Goswami's austerities, and then he said, but if you imitate these, then you will lose whatever spiritual progress you've already made. So that these simplistic mind thinks, well, he did that, and he's in very advanced consciousness, so I'll do that right now, and I'll get the benefit. But you're not at that level, so you can't do that. When we deserve the life of exciting, blissful Krishna consciousness, then we'll have it and we'll be able to handle it in the right way and not misuse it. So Krishna is not denying us. He's given us everything in the right time, in the right way. And then we can take advantage of it fully. Therefore we should beware of introducing things just to stimulate ourselves because now we think that we're bored by regular activities, but go on with the regular activities.
I have a question about this. You mentioned that one time a person was having all these dreams at the same time, how to do this and that.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it seems that the spiritual master does speak to the heart or something, or probably even had the dream of taking some nap. How does one, I know in my life, change my life? Certain things change, you know.
So how does one know when it's a reality or when it's like a dream or when it's qualified, when it's just like the old sense desires coming up and somehow you're confirming them? We have to consult with others and be very conscientious at all times about being honest and about understanding things according to Siddhanta and the Krishna conscious way, then we'll be in a better position to judge something like that. But first of all, I agree that we can get inspiration or the spiritual master can speak to us. Prabhupada said, the devotee asked him about that. But the way the super soul can speak to us, can the spiritual master speak to us? He said, yes, it depends on your purity. The more we are pure in service, the more the spiritual master, Krishna, can talk with us. So how to distinguish it from something that may be false? It should, acting on that advice should be pleasing to ourselves. That's the self is satisfied. Ye not ma supersedati. When you act in pure devotional service, yourself is deeply satisfied. And other Vaishnavas are pleased as a result of that activity. It accords with Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. These would be some of the good results. Palina parichite, judged by the result. But when it's like the sole pramana in a person's life, then it's very, very questionable, it seems to me. Has to be all kinds of like good supporting evidences of that dream also. Like Prabhupada had the dream that a spiritual master told him to take sannyas. He had it as early as the 1940s and he didn't act on it right away because other things weren't showing that the time was right. And then he had it later and he acted. Then he said, now I have to take sannyas. So there were many factors. And the first time also was significant, not that he ignored it, but he kept it in his heart that this has happened. So let us see when I shall act on this and how. This dream is very significant. The dream of the spiritual master telling him to take sannyas. Now it has come again. Yes, you want? Yeah, they're not to be compared with ordinary psychic phenomena. Yeah. All right, so I'll stop here. I think this program was scheduled as a kind of warm-up, because tomorrow night is usually some more Prabhupada katha, and then tomorrow and then the morning after that is Prabhupada's disappearance day. So. I'll just serve in that way. Thank you very much.